Amen. Just keep it there. Today, I'm going to be talking about abortion is child sacrifice. And I'll explain about that in a few moments. Well-known German Lutheran pastor, Martin Niemöller, wrote, and we're very familiar with this saying, first they came for the socialists. Sometimes it says communists. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Let me add to this. Then they came for the babies, and I did not speak out because I was not a baby. In other words, we didn't care enough to speak out for the defenseless. And because of this, Isaiah 59 verse 3 says, our hands are stained with blood and our fingers with guilt. You know, since Roe versus Wade in 1973, abortion, spearheaded by Planned Parenthood, has taken the lives of 61 million babies. Can you even comprehend that number? 61 million babies have been killed, have been slaughtered. The other day, in fact it was Monday, Irene and I saw the movie Unplanned. It was a shocking wake-up call for all of America, especially the body of believers. Those of us who say we believe in Yeshua. As believers, how could this have happened? What have we allowed? And why haven't we done more as the body of Messiah to save our babies from child sacrifice? Truly, our hands are stained with blood, and Satan is winning at the moment. He's winning because every single day, thousands and thousands of babies are being destroyed every single day, and it seems like he's winning. However, by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, by the power of the Spirit of God, we have the power and we have the authority to break down and demolish every stronghold and change the course of the battle in God's favor if we are willing to take a stand, if we are willing to do something for the sake of these defenseless little babies. Now, this horrific practice of child sacrifice has been committed throughout the world for thousands of years. This is not something new that modern man invented. We just became real good at doing it. Really good at doing it. Generally, the sacrifice of a child was intertwined with the worship of some pagan deity, often a fertility god. And here we have a picture portraying Molech, who was a god of the Ammonites. So basically, they would take this child, as you see in this picture, and they would offer it up to him. Worshippers sought to obtain a blessing from their god or their gods, or to confirm or complete a vow taken in the name of that false god. You know, the Bible contains heart-rending tales of child sacrifice that was practiced in the name of Molech, the god of the Ammonites. Molech worship was practiced by the Ammonites and by the Canaanites, who revered this Molech as a protecting father figure. And images of Molech were made of bronze, as this is made of bronze, with their arms outstretched, and their hands, their arms were superheated until they were red hot. And then they would take this baby and put it on this scalding, burning, red hot hands and incinerate the baby, destroy it. And they took pleasure in offering it up to their gods. Some sources even indicate a child might also be passed through fire prior to the actual sacrifice in order to purify or cleanse that child. And Molech worship occurred in the Hinnom Valley near Jerusalem. And because of this, this valley became associated with the idea of Tophet or hell. And it speaks about this in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 33, and Jeremiah 19:12, and even in the book of Mark, chapter 9, and verse 45. And God prohibited Israel from child sacrifice in general, and Molech worship in particular. And listen what it says in Leviticus 20, verses 2 through 5. Leviticus 22 through 5, it says, "Moreover, you are to tell the children of Israel, anyone from the children of Israel or from the outsiders who are dwelling in the land of Israel, who gives any of his children to Molech, shall surely be put to death. The people of the land are to stone him with rocks. I will also set my face against such a person, will cut him off from among his people, because he has given his children to Molech, defiling my sanctuary and profaning my holy name. But if the people of the land all hide their eyes from that person, as much of the body of the Messiah, we have hid our eyes and pretended these things have not been taking place before us. We have been ignoring, as it says here, we hide our eyes from that person when he gives of his seed to Molech, and do not put him to death. Then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off along with all who play the prostitute after him with Molech from among their people." And there are many other passages in the First Covenant in the Old Testament affirming God's zero tolerance for child sacrifice. And I want to stop here for a moment. You may be here today and you've gone through an abortion. And you have felt the pain of that. And you have felt even the guilt of that. Or maybe you're here today and you were the man. And you encouraged your girlfriend or your wife to get an abortion because you didn't want that baby. I want to tell you this, that God is merciful, and God, if you repent of that and ask His forgiveness, God will forgive you for that. It's not something that cannot be pardoned. God will surely forgive you. But let me tell you, those who have gone through that still suffer the pain and the memories of that. And God can even take those memories away and cleanse your heart and your mind. You know, sadly, King Solomon even became involved in this horrendous practice. King Solomon, the wisest man of all time, King Solomon got involved in this practice. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 through 10, "For it came about as Solomon grew old, that his wives led his heart away after other gods, so that his heart was no longer wholly devoted to Adonai, his God, unlike the heart of his father, David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of Adonai and did not fully follow after Adonai, unlike his father David. And at that time, Solomon also built a high place for Chemosh, the detested god of Moab, on the mountain near Jerusalem, as well as for Molech, the detestable thing of the children of Ammon. Thus he did for all his foreign wives who were burning incense and offering sacrifices to their gods. So Adonai became angry with Solomon because his heart has turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He had commanded him about this, that he should not go after other gods. Yet he did not keep what Adonai had commanded him. The scriptures also tell us later on that the evil king Manasseh offered his own son as a sacrifice. It says in 2 Kings 21:6. Can you imagine that? Offering up your own son or daughter as a sacrifice. But let me tell you, it's taking place every single day in America, even as we are here today. In this movie, Unplanned, that we saw, it mentioned that Saturday is the main day for the abortions. And they just line them up like cattle, one right after the other on Saturdays. Because most people have off on Saturdays. And they're freed up on Saturdays. And the clinic is full of people, young girls, 15 years old, coming in there. Don't have to even tell their parents. No one has to know a little 15-year-old girl going in there to have an abortion. So Manasseh offered up his own son. It says that King Ahaz, who was married to Jezebel, in 2 Chronicles 28:1 through 4, also did the same. And the people of Judah participated in the crime after their own sons. A sin so detestable that God said that the thought of this never even crossed his mind. God never even thought, it never even crossed his mind that the people would be sacrificing their own sons and daughters. It never even came into his mind. And child sacrifice, by the way, was one of the reasons that the Jewish people got sent into the Babylonian captivity, because of child sacrifice. Listen what it says in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 35 and 36. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, to make their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, something I never commanded them, nor did it ever enter my mind that they would do such a loathsome thing, causing Judah to sin. Again, God never even thought that man could do such a thing. And it's taking place every single day. Thousands upon thousands of our babies are being offered to false gods, sacrificed to demons. Now therefore says Adonai, the God of Israel, concerning this city about which you say, it is now handed over to the king of Babylon by the sword, by famine and pestilence. And Proverbs 6 verses 1 through 17 talks about, it mentions that Adonai hates hands that shed innocent blood. No, there's a very obvious parallel between the ancient practice of child sacrifice and the modern practice of abortion. There is a big parallel here. The parallels between the two have been recognized for centuries. Tertullian, for example, commented on the Roman practice of doing this, the Roman practice of infanticide. That's how you say infanticide. killing of infants, the Romans used to do. And he compared it to the Carthaginian practice of child sacrifice. And he said, there is no difference as to baby killing, whether you do it as a sacred rite or just because you choose to do it. There's no difference. In the same context, Tertullian describes the Christian attitude towards both abortion and infanticide, saying, for us, murder is once for all forbidden. So even the child in the womb, while yet the mother's blood is still being drawn on to form the human being, it is not lawful to destroy. To forbid birth is only quicker murder. It makes no difference whether one takes away the life once born or destroy it as it comes to birth. He is a man who is to be a man. The fruit is always present in the seed. Now, this was a couple thousands of years ago. You know, the most obvious parallel between the rite of child sacrifice and the practice of abortion is the sober fact that parents actually kill their own offspring. There are, however, many other parallels. At Carthage, the main reason for sacrificing a child was to avert potential dangers in a crisis or to gain success through fulfilling a vow. Today, in modern today, many times when a woman faces an unwanted pregnancy, abortion seems to be the only way to resolve the crisis that she finds herself in. The potential danger to her reputation or her education or her career, etc., becomes overwhelming, and she looks for a way out, and abortion seems to be the best way. To avert the seemingly terrifying consequence of carrying a pregnancy to term, the woman may turn to an abortion as a means of escape. Another woman may experience much less of the anxiety and fear that accompanies a crisis. She may simply see the pregnancy as an intrusion into her lifestyle. So they sacrifice and destroy the baby so it doesn't interfere with their lifestyle, the way they want to live. So it's no longer an obstacle in the way to the road of success or their fun time. Sadly, this woman's offspring must be sacrificed so that she can continue uninterrupted with her plans for the future. And this baby is just in the way and just thrown into the trash. They show during this movie we saw, weekly they would have a service come by and take away all the baby parts. And they had two 50-gallon drums. You know what a 50-gallon drum is? It's about like yay high and this around 50 gallons. Two of them. And every end of the week, the end of Saturday or something, driver would come by and pick up these two 50-gallon drums of pieces of baby that were torn apart. Can you imagine that? This is what's taking place in America today. It's no secret that in American society, extramarital sexual intercourse, fornication, and adultery is the cause of most pregnancies that end in abortion. Pregnancy is a risk that many are willing to take, knowing that any desired consequences can be eliminated just like that by abortion. It's just something to inconvenience that we can eliminate. The theologian Carl Henry recognizes this fact in calling abortion the horrendous modern immolation of millions of fetuses on the altar of sex gratification. Child sacrifice in Canaan may have been a convenient way to dispose of the consequences of illicit sexual practice of a temple prostitute associated with the cult of Molech? If so, the modern practice of men irresponsibly engaging in sexual intercourse with women to whom they don't intend to commit themselves and provide for parallels the wayward Israelites. The men engage in extramarital relations with temple prostitutes. And in both cases, the men leave the women to bear the consequences of their aberrant sexual practices. Now, let me make it clear that the men are every bit as responsible for this taking place. Now, a woman or a little girl even goes to an abortion clinic, has that abortion. She didn't get pregnant by herself. Somebody impregnated her. And where is that man? Maybe he'll give her some money. Here, here's $500. Get rid of that thing. Get rid of that thing. It's not a thing, it's a baby. And the men will be held equally responsible before God for their part in all of this. At present around the world, abortion is sanctioned, even encouraged in many countries. State-funded, just like we here in America have been funding Planned Parenthood. As a country, giving your tax dollars and my tax dollars, and it goes to Planned Parenthood to kill babies. Some societies use it as a means of population control. In China, it was widespread population control. You're only, for a period of time, only allowed one child. If you had a second pregnancy, if you couldn't hide that child, which would be impossible because the authorities go from house to house looking and counting how many kids you have, looking for signs of other babies, you would have to abort that baby. In other words, you would go to prison or be beaten or tortured or whatever else. Here in this country, Medicaid funds abortions all the time. The poor, especially, are the ones who end up going through things like this. Poor, the uneducated. But one wonders whether some wealthy policymakers up there hope to control population growth among the poor under the guise of goodwill. I was talking to Shanika. Was it before the service? Before the service. And you know that Planned Parenthood, does anyone know who was the founder of Planned Parenthood? Margaret Sanger. She started Planned Parenthood in order to kill black babies. She thought they were subhuman. She wanted Planned Parenthood to eradicate and destroy the black population. That's why Planned Parenthood was started. And let me tell you, the majority of pregnancies or young people or older people, women who go to Planned Parenthood, most of them, but an enormous amount are young black women who are going to it now. So what she wanted to do back then is taking place there. And you know where we have a good majority of Planned Parenthood offices are in black neighborhoods, ghettos. That's where many of them are. Population control, goodwill. Sometimes the Carthaginians sacrifice defective children in exchange for healthy ones. And it's now standard medical practice to do the same thing. We have an amniocentesis. And if the baby shows any abnormality in any way whatsoever, the baby is then killed, sacrificed, so you could have one that's not defective. If an impairment is confirmed, the parents are advised, even encouraged to terminate the pregnancy, and to carry to term and to raise a defective child is not expected of parents, since they can exchange that frail one for a healthy one in the future. Throw away the old shoes and buy the new shoes. In some states, listen to this, in some states, obstetricians who fail to advise the patients of the need for amniocentesis can be successfully sued for malpractice on the legal grounds that they delivered infants that were born wrongful life. They get sued for wrongful life. That you didn't tell them that that baby could have or maybe have some issues or problems, so they can be sued for wrongful life. Even the actual right of child sacrifice has modern parallels in medical techniques used to perform abortions. In the saline, which means salt, saline abortion, a dying infant is chemically burned as it thrashes about for minutes to even hours before finally succumbing to that saline solution that's dissolving them, and it's thrashing around in the suction abortion, which they show on the movie Unplanned, the loud whirl of that vacuum pump muffles the sound of the mother crying out in pain and sadness, and the ripping and the gushing sound of that little baby being torn piece by piece by that suction and sucked away. It's horrific. The words written by P. Mosca at the conclusion of his doctoral dissertation dealing with child sacrifice might well be written of abortion today. And he wrote in his dissertation, "It is impossible to deal with this subject at any length without coming to terms with the human dimensions. How could a culture," listen to what he wrote, "how could a culture so well developed morally, like we are, intellectually and materially, tolerate such an abominable custom as this? How could such a sophisticated people sanction what seems to be a barbaric practice for so long? How, at the most visceral and critical level, could human parents bring about the destruction of their own child?" And I agree, this is unthinkable. How could a society that we live in today, that's so morally, supposedly so well developed morally, intellectually, and materially, allow such an abominable thing to take place? How can we even fathom such a thing as this? And since there are many parallels between ancient child sacrifice and modern abortion, it's reasonable to conclude that the attitude of our unchanging God towards abortion today is similar to his attitude towards child sacrifice in the past. As God said it was an abomination and that you should be stoned to death and separated from your people, you think God doesn't feel the same way for abortion? Even more so because it's so rampant all over this world today. What then can we rationally surmise is God's judgment regarding this practice of abortion among Christians and those who are not his people? And like child sacrifice in ancient Israel, the practice of abortion by Christians is spiritual prostitution to an idol. It defiles God's sanctuary and profanes his holy name. God alone is the author of life. God alone is the author of life. And it's not us as the creature's prerogative to question the Creator's wisdom in bringing to life a fellow human being at conception. Whether men disregard their Creator's wise judgment by destroying his innocent creation, they are serving another god. They are, in fact, spiritually prostituting themselves to an idolatrous self whom they believe is wiser in its values and judgments than God himself. Some values which are put forward to justify abortion are clearly idolatrous. Like we all hear, a mother's right to choose. That's idolatry. A mother's right to choose. Even saying that, you are a mother. You're admitting you're a mother. A mother's right to choose. You're a mother, but you're destroying your baby, which is placed at the top of the pyramid of values by those who call themselves pro-choice. Other idolatrous values are more subtle, like empathy for a mother's suffering in the midst of a crisis arising from an unwanted pregnancy, or concern for the quality of life of a defective fetus. Both of these later values are good in themselves, but become idolatrous when they abrogate the Creator's wise judgment in creating the life to begin with. It's not as though God fails to realize in creating some human beings that they may become a source of conflict in an unplanned conception, or that a handicapped person will indeed face difficulties in life. I remember when Irene and I got married. Irene was older, and when we first had my daughter, were you 39 or 40? What was you? 39 years old, and then I think you were 40 or 41 when Joshua was born. Now doctors always, you know, advise you take an amniocentesis. You got to find out, you know, you're older. Maybe something's wrong with that baby, and then you can decide, you know, what you want to do. And I remember telling him, no, we wouldn't take any tests. Said regardless if that baby is healthy and happy, or that baby has some kind of handicap or some kind of sickness or whatever, we would never destroy our baby. That's our baby, and we'll take care of that baby, and we'll love that baby no matter what. And that's what we should all have, that same belief and that same understanding. You know, something is happening in this land which God did not command, nor did it ever enter his mind, as we read in Jeremiah. Never entered God's mind that man would do such a thing. This place, this land, is being filled with the blood of the innocent. So beware, for blood is on our hands, and God will set his face against us unless we repent as a people, as a nation, even as believers. Unless we repent and are cleansed by his merciful forgiveness. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 11 says, Thus says Adonai, I am about to bring calamity against you and devise disaster against you. Turn back now, every one from his evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. Let all of us in this room pray that we don't respond to that like ancient Israel did in Jeremiah 18:12, and just the next verse, where the people of Israel said, it is hopeless, so we will walk after our own ways and our own plans, and each of us will act in the stubbornness of his own evil heart. Let's not reply to God with those words. It is hopeless. We'll walk in our own plans, our own ways, and we're acting in the stubbornness of our own hearts. Don't say that to God. As I end this, I want us all to be praying about how we, as a congregation, can get involved in preventing the death of the innocent. Let me tell you, those little babies are so innocent and beautiful. When I saw the ultrasound that my daughter's going to have a baby, and I saw the ultrasound of the baby, the pictures, the little fingers and the hands and the toes, and I saw the head and the arms and the leg, and I saw that it was a boy, very evidently, very obviously. I mean, you could see it was a boy, and I saw those pictures. I'm like, wow, that's my grandson. That's my grandson. And I just felt such a love for my grandson. And it just brings tears to my eyes to think that when somebody sees that they can't see life in a beautiful baby. And when you go to Planned Parenthood and you're looking for an abortion and they do an ultrasound, they won't show the ultrasound to the woman who comes in there. They won't show it to them. You know why? Because if they see the baby, they'll change their heart, they'll change their mind, and they fall in love. You fall in love when you see your baby. And they won't show it to them because they know that they'll lose an abortion. That's their business. That's how they make money. Planned Parenthood is not about planning. It's not anything about planning and preparing. It's about murder. That's their business. That's how they make money. You see that in the movie. It's all about money. The more abortions, the more money they make, the more they prosper. It's all about the money. They don't make money passing out contraceptives. They don't make money counseling women about alternatives. They make money killing babies. And it will continue until we all pray it away or do our part. And let me tell you, just people standing outside of an abortion clinic like Planned Parenthood and just standing outside on the other side of the fence, because it's always fenced in, and praying will prevent 75% of women from going in and doing it. They see the people praying as they're driving up and they turn around and circle a little bit, then they drive away. It's a little known fact that came out in the movie. 75% of women will turn away if they see people praying. Just that. You never know what your prayers can do. Thank you. Okay. So I want us to be praying about what we can do as a congregation. Irene and I have been involved in Right to Life things in El Paso. I was one of the sponsors of March for Lives in El Paso when we had the congregation. I was on the committees for it, and we were involved, and Irene's looking into some things locally here in Polk County and so forth, but I'm saying this, I felt when I left that movie theater, I felt compelled by the Lord that we have to do more. We have to do something. We can't just sit back and watch thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, millions of babies dying and do nothing about it and not even think about it. We've got to do something. So I'm praying. I want us all to be praying about that, thinking about it, praying about it. What can we do? What can we do to save the lives of babies? This is so dear and so precious to the heart of God. And I believe since we are believers, we say we are believers, the preservation of life, that is so precious to God. And we have to be doing more. And I want us to be involved in doing that. And we have to figure out how we can do that. If you have any experience in any of this or thoughts, you know, go talk with Irene because she's looking into that. And...